Can y'all hear me okay? Nope. No? Now? Now can you hear me all right? Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad to see everybody here this morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Just once again, I want to, remind everybody, just keep praying for Tony. He's going through kind of a rough time, but we're going to pray and keep praying and praying that he's going to return back soon, and then he's going to be stronger and better than before. So anyway, because I really wasn't expecting to have to talk with you on such short notice, so you'll need to bear with me because I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare this. So I'm going to be winging some of it. So if I get a little out of sync or something here, just bear with me. But like I said, I use my glasses for distance. I don't need them for reading, so I can't really see what you're doing out there. So anyway, this morning I'd like to talk about something that I think all Christians, and I know it's especially me, that's something that convicts me, but we struggle with, and that's actually witnessing for Christ. So, and I know a lot of folks here are, but if you're out there now, and truly it's a wonderful and blessed thing, but if you're not, you should be, and we should be, because Jesus commands us to do so. And so I'm hoping that today when we discuss and we talk about this, and we just have some things that I think that might make it a little easier, make it less difficult for do this, because it's really not that hard a thing to do. We don't need to be going around door to door grabbing people by the neck and going, you need to be a Christian. All we really need to do is just kind of let them know who we are as a witness. And we got to let people know who we are. They got to know that we're Christians before we can truly be disciples. I know a lot of times, we do really good things. And, I've talked to a lot of you, and I know you do some wonderful things out there for your neighbors and for other people and all that. But do people really know that they're Christians? They're Christians. Do they really know? They just know there's some nice people over there. And we need to let them know that. And I go to Bible study. Pat and I go to Bible study on Thursday nights at another church. And the gentleman that teaches it there, very smart man. He's been teaching the Bible for 30-something years or more. And he got saved at a very young age and trying to do everything he can to bring the Word of Jesus out there. He's all fired up because he's a fairly new Christian. And he got a summer job on a delivery truck with a guy. And he goes, we'd go out, and he was kind of my boss, and he goes, we'd drive around, do our deliveries and this and that, but at the end of the day, come back to the warehouse over there, and we'd get out, he'd park the truck, and he'd go over there with his buddies, and they'd get some beer, and they'd have some cards or whatever, their cigarettes, and he goes, and they get pretty rowdy. And he said, and he's like, I'd like to witness to this man. So he says, I got up the courage, and we were in the truck one day, and we're talking and everything, and he says, I kind of just finally looked over at him, and I said, have you ever thought about Jesus? And he's kind of like, no, not really. And he says, well, I'm a Christian. He says, he looked over at me, and he goes, really? I would never have known that. And I thought, oh, he says, that was so convicting, We come to church, and we all talk amongst each other, and we quote Bible scriptures and blessings and this and that. But out in that real world out there, do they really know that we are who we are? And Colossians 3:17, it tells us, and whatever you do, whether it is word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter, he says, always be prepared to give an answer for everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do it with gentleness and respect. So when someone asks you, well, hey, why are you doing this? I'm a Christian. Jesus puts it on my heart and mind to do it. And one example of the power of this is if you look in Acts 3:6, Peter and John were preaching in Jerusalem, and they came across a beggar that was on the street, and he caught their eye, and they walked over, and he put his hand out expecting to get something. And Peter looked at him, and he said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have to give to you, I give in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk." Now, of course, that's the power of Jesus. But do you think it would have been nearly as effective if he had said, "What I have to give you, I give you because I'm a really nice guy. You know, I just do these things because John and I are just nice guys. We like doing that." No, they were doing it because they were followers of Jesus. They were Christians. That's what we do. So, you know, if you go to help your neighbor or even a stranger in need, you know, and they say the same thing, you know, "Hey, you guys are always so good to me. You do these great things." Or, "Thank you so much for coming by. Thanks for coming by and helping us out. Thanks for bringing the food over here when we were kind of a little shorthanded." Let them know that you're doing it in Jesus' name. Let them know why you're doing it. Let them know I'm a Christian. I am a Christian, so therefore that is what I do. Jesus puts it on my heart to do it. It's really there. There's a witness right there. That's all you had to do. They may not even respond to it. They may just go, "Oh, okay." But you've kind of planted a seed there. The 2 Corinthians 5:20, Paul tells us, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." You remember in the old days when people used to start up a business? They take a big old wooden board. A lot of times it was a shingle off of a roof. And they'd paint on there, "Attorney at law," or "Doctor," or whatever. They'd hang it on their door, nail it on a post, or whatever. That's what we need to do. We need to take our little shingles and we need to hang them out there with a sign that says, "Christians, open for business." Because Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the light of the world. And you're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." It says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house." And we are. That's what, if you are a Christian, you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit, you are the light of the world. It's in you. We just need to turn on that switch. Let that light shine for all to see. We're called to scatter seeds, the seeds of righteousness for the Word of God. We're called to scatter these seeds. And Jesus tells us the story of sowing seeds. If you don't know, a lot of you probably read it. It's in Matthew 13, 1 through 9. It's pretty long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Jesus talks about scattering the seeds out there. He said, you know, some fell on bad ground and some fell on good ground. If you actually read it, you'll find out that 3/4 of them fell on bad ground, but 1/4 of them fell on good ground. And they sprouted and they produced a large crop. And, you know, this is everyone that you speak to out there or you witness to, they may not hear you. They may laugh you off or whatever. But don't worry. It's not your job to save them. That's the work of God. That is God's work. You sow and he's the one that makes it grow. Paul tells us 1 Corinthians 3:6 through 8. "I have planted," and his helper, "Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." So you don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be Billy Graham. Just let people who know who you are, tell them where you stand. That's all. And if the Holy Spirit's working, Jesus is knocking on their door, it'll stick. If it doesn't, don't worry about it. You did your best. There's an old saying that you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. So that one seed you plant could turn into thousands and thousands. Or that one little seed you plant, believe it or not, could be the next Billy Graham. God can do that. He can do all things. So we're in there working with Him. That's what we do. Let me give you an example here of how a seed can spread quickly and also can spread in times of adversity. In Rome, in the year 165 AD through, and it lasted about 180 AD, it was known the Antonine Plague. The scholars seemed to think that it was smallpox, and they believed that after it all ended, that it may have well wiped out two-thirds of the people in the Roman Empire. You know, we just lived through a kind of a small one here, so not the first thing to ever happen. But anyway, during that time, it didn't take the people in Rome and in the other big cities to figure out. People all jammed in here in close contact. This disease spreads quickly, so the rich, the elite, the senators, the Caesars, all the ones with money, they packed up their stuff. They moved out to their villas out in the country. They moved out to the seashore and places far away from the cities. So who was left? It was just the poor, the downtrodden, and whatever. But also in Rome at the time, there was this little group of people called Christians. And of course, having been called by Christ to do good works and spread fruit, what did they do? They didn't have the money, they didn't have a place to go, so they stayed there. They would go house to house, and they would feed the people that were too sick to work, too sick to go get food. They would nurse and they would care for all the people there that were suffering, all the pagan Romans. They were outnumbered probably 10 to 1, but they did it anyway, and they did it in Jesus' name. Well, this plague, like I said, lasted a long time, but eventually it began to wane. And little by little, the Roman citizens, the rich ones, they all came back to Rome and to the big cities. But they noticed something amazing had happened, and they couldn't quite figure it out. Suddenly, this little tiny religion, Christianity, had spread all over the Roman Empire. I guess you could say it spread like a plague. But they couldn't figure it out. Well, I mean, it was very simple. These people were going to the people, doing what they do, which we're called to do as Christians. And you can bet your boots, they were not doing this because we're good guys. We just like doing good things for you. They were doing it because Jesus calls us to do this. And of course, people were asking, you know, tell us about this Jesus. And this is how it can spread. You, any one of you could say one thing to some person, and just like that, it could spread like crazy. It can change. It could change the whole world. You just don't know. Now, unfortunately, I think it's 63% of the people now in this country identify as Christians. That's down from, in the last 10 years, down from like 78%. It's kind of sad. But there's I think there's reasons for that, because there's too many people that, if they think they're Christians, and maybe they are, I can't say, but they're ashamed to identify as Christians. And, maybe they're afraid of being mistreated. Maybe they're afraid of even being attacked by someone, you know, but their fear overcomes their faith. And this is sad, because Jesus tells us in Luke 9:26, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory. And so, oh, what a slippery slope it is, you think, when we refuse to stand up for Jesus. We stand on a slippery slope. But Paul said in Romans 1:16, he declared, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's a difference of life and death. out there, whether you choose Jesus or you choose to live in the world. It's not something to go, that's for someone else. Let me ask you a question. You don't have to raise your hands, because I think there's a lot of people here, but has anyone ever brought someone or asked someone to come to church, and they've come to church and you've noticed that after a while now they've been changed? They have been changed. They're accepting Jesus. They've heard the word. Or has anyone here actually just brought someone to the Lord? Where you actually, they pretty much came to you and said, "Hey, I need God. I need you to help me find the path." I tell you, if you have, it is a wonderful feeling, but it's also a humbling feeling. It's knowing that Jesus is working through you. He's working through you and me. I've had that happen to me once that I know of, where I actually had a person come to me and ask for help. And that person now is a good Christian. There were some others, and I don't know whether it stuck or not. I certainly hope that it does, but it is. It's humbling. It's like, wow, Lord's used me. And this is what he wants to do. You know, we don't have to fall on a sword, and you don't have to run a spear through your chest for the Lord. You know, just let him use you. Speak plainly. I'm going to get a little theatrical here, I guess, in a way. But anyway, has anyone ever seen that movie Hacksaw Ridge? Or it's the story of Desmond Doss. He's a young man. He came to the Lord at a very young age, and he had an incident younger part of his life with a gun, and he swore to the Lord he would never pick up a gun again. And this was during World War II. He was not a conscientious objector. He wanted to go and serve in the Army, but he wanted to serve as a medic. So he enlisted, and he was told, yes, he could go in the medical corps, but he had to go to basic training. Well, one of the things in his basic training was he had to pick up and qualify with a rifle, and he refused to. And so they tried to court-martial him and throw him out. But fortunately for him, I believe the Lord was working in this, with the help of his father and with the help of some friends, he was allowed to stay. Well, anyway, he was assigned to the Pacific Theater, and during the Battle of Okinawa, there was a ridge, mountainside there. It was a very mountainous country, and the Japanese had dug tunnels and pillboxes and all these fortifications. Anyway, this Hacksaw Ridge was an area they had to take, and it was fairly high, had these rope scaling ladders, and the soldiers, they had to climb to the top and then form up and then attack the Japanese positions. Well, this had been going on for a week or more, or several weeks. High casualties. Well, anyway, his first trip up there with them, same thing. They stormed the Japanese positions and they drove them back, and then the Japanese counterattacked and drove the American soldiers back off the mountainside. But he got trapped behind enemy lines, and because he was trying to help a wounded soldier. And while he was there, he was attacked by a Japanese soldier and partially wounded. But anyway, he waited till nightfall. And as nighttime came, he kept hearing all these other soldiers out there moaning from their wounds and hurt. Well, he began going out with his medical bag in the dark and tending to them. And he started carrying or dragging these guys back. And he was a small, thin man. And he would bring them back, and he'd bring them to the ledge. He'd tie a rope around him. He rigged up this like a sort of a pulley system, and he started letting these guys down, the wounded. And of course, the guys on the bottom, they're like, "Well, I don't know who, we don't know where this is," because they didn't know he was missing. Anyway, this went on all night long. And when it was all over with, he had lowered 75 wounded soldiers, including some Japanese soldiers that were wounded, down the side of this cliff all by himself. So they ask him later, "How in the world were you able to do this?" And he says, "Well, I would go out there," and he says, "I would drag one of these guys or carry them back, tend their wounds, and I'd let them down that rope, and then I would sit and rest for a minute, and I would just pray. Oh, Lord, just give me one more. Oh, Lord, just give me one more. And he got the Congressional Medal of Honor for doing this. I believe the Lord was really at work here in that man. Anyway, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, if you have ever brought someone to the Lord, or you invited someone to church and it stuck or whatever, we should still be saying, oh Lord, just give me one more. Just give me one more. And if you never have, and there's an opportunity to do it, take the opportunity and pray, Lord, just give me one. Just give me one. Now, and you think, well, what really difference does it make, and what kind of an impact can it make if I just witness to one person and maybe they're touched by the Lord? Well, I'll tell you what Jesus said about it. He says in Luke 15:7, and this is the story of the sheep where he leaves the 99 sheep and goes and gets the one. He says, I have found my lost sheep, and I tell you that in the same way, I rejoice in that I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It just takes one. I don't know who said this, and I have been unable to find it in the Bible, but I'd heard it was a pastor or a theologian of someone who said that he believed that if only one person in the entire world had ever come to Jesus when he was here, that he still would have gone to the cross for that person. So anyway, I haven't found that in there, but anyway. But you know, there's something that we need to remember also. That when you were saved, that someone brought you to the Lord. Something, some word you heard, maybe you saw a guy on TV, maybe it was your neighbor, maybe it was a friend, whatever. Someone brought you to the Lord because the Lord was knocking on your door there, and someone helps you. Because your salvation, it's not of yourself. You can't do it yourself. Remember the Lord, he calls on you, and you have to respond. But each one of us can help. We can say, let me show you the way. So 2 Corinthians 1:2 says, we as God's fellow workers, we urge you to not receive God's grace in vain. For he says, you know, in the time of my favor, this is the Lord speaking, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. And then he says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So today could be the day that you help someone start their journey to salvation. We just need to hold up our signs and show them the way. You don't need to preach or teach. If they ask you, oh, by all means. But let them know. The only way there is through Jesus. It's the only way. Said we. I'm sorry, my notes are a little thinner because I didn't like that. Oh yeah. So I was thinking about that, and that we should not take our salvation. We should not put it in a bottle and shove a cork in it, selfishly keeping it all to ourselves. Let your light shine before men. I have a quote here from Oswald Chambers. So Jesus Christ did not say, go and save souls. The salvation of souls is the supernatural work of God. But he said, go and make disciples of all nations. But you cannot make disciples unless you are a disciple yourself. And you think, oh, a disciple? I got to be like James and John and Peter, and I have to go do all these things, and I got to martyr myself? No. The definition of a disciple is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrine of another. It's pretty simple stuff. I assume we all accept the doctrine of Jesus Christ. All we need to do is assist in the spreading of it. That's all that we need to do. Sometimes you may think, you know, why am I still around here? You know, especially like me, I'm getting older, and I mean, there's some folks in here that are a lot older than me. No, I shouldn't say that, not a lot older than me. I'm sorry. Older than me. But you think, well, why are we still here? You know, I can tell you, you're still around on this earth. It's because God has He's got a reason for you to be here. He has a reason for you to be here. Charles Spurgeon says, if we remain on earth as sowers to scatter good seed, as a plowman to break up the fallow ground, as a herald to publish salvation, we are here as the salt of the earth to be a blessing to the world. We are here to glorify Christ in our daily lives. We are here as workers for Him and workers with Him together. And that is why you are here. He's keeping you around for a reason. It may be that one little person that you speak to. You may never know until you get to heaven. Why was I kept around so long? It's because He waited for you, He prepared you, and got you ready for that one time that you told that person something. That seed was planted and it multiplied. So anyway, I want to come down here and read a couple of things. And if you want to turn, you can turn to Acts 4. I like the book of Acts. If you have ever read the whole thing, it pretty much tells you how Christianity really got going and how it spread after Jesus had left the earth. But anyway, Peter and John were still in Jerusalem. And this was after they had healed a man. And after they had healed this man in Jesus' name, they were drawn in to the Sanhedrin and put before trial for, you know, teaching in the name of Jesus. And anyway, it says, they then called, Acts 4:18, they then called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. If the Holy Spirit is in you, Jesus is talking to you, your love is in Him, you cannot help it. You cannot help it. You may be a little shy. You may say, oh, I'm just not good at speaking. I'm not good at speaking. I'm not good at talking about these things. Well, you know what? Neither was really Peter or John until they had received the Holy Spirit. But they're standing again before the Sanhedrin, and they're questioning them, and they're, you know, by what, how do you did this? What, why did you do this? And Peter looks up at them and he says, because salvation is found in no one else. This one we should remember, we should memorize this one, keep it memorized. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And it says, now, here's the best part. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Can you think of an honor, of anything greater in your life here on earth than someone would look over and say, these people have been with Jesus? These people have been with Jesus. You have been with Jesus. Acknowledge it. And when you do, yes, I have been. I have been with Jesus. And it, you know, there's an old hymn, and it's called Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. And there's one verse in there that says, if you cannot sing like, I mean, well, it says sing, some say sing, some say, but if you cannot speak like angels and you cannot preach like Paul, then you can tell the love of Jesus and you can say he died for all. So I got there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh Lord Jesus, we just ask, dear Lord, you've given the Holy Spirit, and with that Spirit, Lord, you have given us the power, oh Lord, to spread your word. We ask, oh Lord, that we will just take the gospel wherever it is and boldly declare it. We ask wherever we can plant a seed, help us to plant a seed. Let us never be ashamed to declare your name in public or around anyone that we are. Help us do it, O Lord, with gentleness and kindness. Help us to be gentle and humble. But, O Lord, let us walk boldly in your name. And we ask that throughout all the things that are going on, just help us each day to just plant one seed. Just plant one seed. Just give us one person, Lord. Just give us one more. And we just know the world will be a better place because we are there doing your work side by side with the power that you give us. We just ask that you enable us to do so. Watch over us, protect us, and lead us, O Lord, as we're out there spreading your name and helping you and glorifying God in the process, for that is what you have called us to do. We thank you in the name above all names, in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you.